of Cicero, who wrote an essay on friendship. And in there, there's a line in there that says that it seems that some people would rather seem to have virtue than to actually have or to be virtuous. It's also the North Carolina motto, which is where I first encountered it. It's also the Uvalde Classical Academy motto. We've heard a lot about Uvalde in the last few weeks, haven't we? The shootings there. But they have it as their motto because they decided they wanted their students, it's a Christian school, they decided they wanted their students to understand that they needed to be what God has called them to be rather than to seem to be that. Amen? And isn't it true that even in Christianity, even in all of Christendom, some people would rather seem to be than to actually be what God has called them to be? It's a sad truth, isn't it? Isn't that some of you don't want to speak up? This might sting you a little bit. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 for the most part today. Hopefully going to preach on that and a few other scriptures. But that's going to be our main verse for today. And have you ever asked yourself, why does God send the Holy Spirit? Or what is my purpose as a Christian? We're going to delve into those questions. We're going to answer those questions actually today. Like I said, we're going to be in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And that has to do with witnessing. And we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit today. Two words that can sometimes scare people. Right? When we talk about the Holy Spirit, some people are a little afraid of the Holy Spirit. What's going to happen if I actually talk about the Holy Spirit? What's going to happen if I find out about the Holy Spirit? Wasn't that long ago? It was Pentecost, and sometimes when people speak about the Holy Spirit or Pentecost, some people equate that with Pentecostalism. And trust me, we're not going to be encouraging people today to run around the room or to bark like a dog. Please don't. That's not the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk about witnessing. How many of you get scared when you hear the word witness? Huh? Yeah, you can be honest, right? Because somebody might actually ask you to be one, right? Like, oh, witnessing, no. Scary stuff, right? Scares me, and that's what they kind of pay me for. You know? That's what God has called me to do, right? But we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about three things. Three, how many? Threes, for those of you taking notes, or you want to remember what I'm saying. Three things about witnessing. We're going to talk about, number one, the priority of witnessing. Number two, the place of witnessing. And number three, the point or the reason for witnessing. And now, in order to get a little context, we've gone to the commencement content. Now we're to the context. Jesus has been crucified. He has laid in the tomb on the Sabbath day, and he has been resurrected. And he now spends 40 days with his disciples, teaching them about things about the kingdom of God. You with me so far? So that's where we're at now, and they're all assembled together, it says. Now, isn't it interesting that when God's people are assembled together, that great things happen? Huh? When God's people get together, great things are accomplished, and wonderful things happen. Isn't that true? That's what my Bible tells me. And they're there to wait for a promise. Jesus says, wait for the promise that you got from me. And what is that promise? Oh, you say the Holy Spirit. Well, you're right. In John chapter 14, verses 16, 17, and 26, exactly talks about the promise of Jesus gives them of the Holy Spirit. Also in John chapter 15, verse 26 as well. And in another verse, let's see, that's in John chapter 16, verse 70, Jesus actually says, it's for your benefit that I go so that you can receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, not only are they going to receive the Holy Spirit, but it says here in Acts that they're going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Those of you who have a little Pentecostal DNA in you will like that word, right? The Holy Ghost, not the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Ghost. And you all good Seventh-day Adventists and Baptists know what the word baptized means, right? It means they're going to be what? Immersed. See, you guys are good. You've been to all those Revelation seminars, right? You can be immersed, saturated with the Holy Spirit, totally covered with the Holy Spirit. Now we've got to the context. Let's go to the content. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the very first part. Acts chapter. It's a very simple. It's simple so far, right? No? Okay. One person's got it. I'm going to preach over here. Then. You got it. Okay. So far, hopefully very simple. And we're going to go to, if my device decides to work, we're going to go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says here, they're all assembled together, waiting for the promise from Jesus. And verse 8 says, but, we're going to stop right there. I could actually preach a whole sermon on that word. We're not going to do that today. We're going to go through the whole verse. So the word but here. So what is the word but? The little word that means however. What is that word? Anybody remember old school Schoolhouse Rock? Conjunction, junction. What's your function? Anybody? You guys remember that? Right? So a conjunction is a word that connects ideas, concepts, phrases together. Amen? With me so far, didn't know you were going to have an English lesson today. English is my second language. I don't know what my first one is. But is a conjunction that contrasts two different, it compares and contrasts two different concepts, ideas, or words, phrases. Amen? And it also tends to negate the phrase before it in favor of the phrase after it. Let me give you an example. I need to lose weight, but I don't want to eat healthy. I'd love to be a vegetarian, but I don't like vegetables. You see how that works? You got the concept down? So what does this word but negate? So we're going to go all the way back to verse 5, and we're going to discover a little something here. We're going to go back to verse 5, back into our context, and we're going to see here, it says, for John, this is Jesus speaking, it says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So it says here, Jesus is telling them, you're going to get baptized by the Holy Ghost. It says, in verse 6, it says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So when they hear they're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, they have asked themselves the question, so why are we getting the Holy Spirit? That's what we're talking about today, right? Why does God send the Holy Spirit? And they have come to the conclusion that this is the time when Jesus will restore the kingdom to Israel. This is not saying of Israel, right? But the kingdom to Israel. In other words, they're saying, Jesus, since you're going to baptize us in the Holy Ghost, is this when we're going to actually be able to get rid of the Romans and be in charge of ourselves? We'll no longer be slaves. Is that what you're talking? Is that why you're giving us the Holy Ghost? We'll see what Jesus has to say about that. And he said, that's Jesus, unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now, this word power here is not the power we'll see later, but this is authority. So God has put this under his authority. So in other words, they've asked, okay, is it time to rule and reign, Jesus? Is it time to have power for prestige? Jesus, is now, is this the time? And he says, none yet. It's none your business. It's not time for you to know that. God's got that. That belongs to God. It's under his power. And then he uses this little word. He says, but. So he's negating the fact that you're going to be the fact that you're going to have political power for prestige, or it's time to rule and reign. It's not time for that. He says, but he's going to tell us what it's time for. But he says, it's not time to make America great again. It's not time to build back better. It's not time for that. It's not time for politics. We don't have time for that, he says. Did you know that being a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church will not save you? Did you know that being a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, or anything else, will not save you? Jesus says, that's not why I gave you, giving you the Holy Spirit. It's not time for that. But, he says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses. He says, it's not time to rule and reign. It's not time for prestige and power. It's not time to make America great again. It's not time to build back better. It's time to take the three angels' message, the everlasting gospel, into the entire world. When somebody asks you, what time is it? You want to say, it's time to witness. He says, but you're going to receive power. Now, this word power here is the one we're more familiar with, the dynamis type of power. And anybody who's been to a good seminar knows what that stands for, right? In the illustrious words of the philosopher J.J. Walker from Good Times, what English word do we get from dynamis? Dynamite! Huh? Yeah, those of you who didn't laugh, Google it. But we also get the word dynamic, right? So you get this explosive, dynamic power to be witnesses. God promises power. It's not time for power for prestige or to rule and reign, but it's time to be his witnesses. This is talking about the priority of witnessing. It's not time for anything else but witnessing. Witnessing has the priority. So that's about the priority of witnessing. You got that? It's not time for anything else. Those of you who I'm not even sure I should say that. Okay, so I won't. Okay. Always good to check with the Lord. The second thing we're going to talk about is the place of witnessing. We're going to go to the latter part of verse 8 of chapter 1 of Acts. And it says you're going to be my witnesses, and it says you're going to be them in where? In Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You all right? You got that? So did you know that that's the outline of Acts? That chapters 1 through 7, gospel goes to Jerusalem. 8 and 9, Judea and Samaria. 10 through 28, the uttermost parts of the earth. Isn't it interesting that the Holy Spirit just decides to put the outline of Acts in one part of one little verse? I think that's wonderful. I think the Holy Spirit knew what he was doing. What do you say? Think so? Okay. So that is the outline of Acts. So, this says you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Jerusalem's over here. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, right? It does not say you will be my witnesses from Jerusalem, then to Judea and Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the earth, does it? It also doesn't say you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem or Judea and Samaria or the uttermost parts of the earth, right? That's the thing about preaching and studying the Bible. The object is not to put into the text what you think it means. I've heard very well-meaning pastors and preachers say, well, you got to start where you are, then go. And they use this text. And although I believe in that, I believe you should start where you are, I think it's a good plan. And then move on. I think that's a wonderful plan. But that's not what this text says. It uses the word and. So in other words, it says that God has empowered us in order to employ us, in order to evangelize everywhere. Now, how can I? Last time I checked, I can't be every place at once. Physics tells me that I can't do that, right? God says you can. How is that? Well, you can support evangelism. You can pray, which is the most powerful thing you can do, right? Should be your first thing you do is pray, right? This one might hurt, though. You could actually reach way back here and pull out some dough, some green, some clams, some lettuce. Not hippie lettuce. And give some money to support evangelism, can't you? Can't you? See, I knew that one was going to... There wasn't a lot of amens on that one. Pastor, I'll pray, but... Or, you could actually get this. Witness yourself. Huh? Amen? And with social media and the internet, you got the World Wide Web. Amen? We got a worldwide message. Can we use the World Wide Web? By Acts 17, did you know that the disciples were accused of turning the whole world upside down? They didn't have nothing. They were still writing on sheepskins and walking everywhere. We're still here. There's something going on there. Huh? I'm not a great witnesser. I'm a very introverted person. My wife, on the other hand, is a great witnesser. She is bold for Jesus. One example, one of many examples. I got out of AFCO, Amazing Facts Center of Evangelism. Got out of there, decided I was going to plant a church in the worst part of Sacramento, California. This place was so bad How bad was it? It was so bad. Okay, I know who watches Johnny Carson. That was before you were converted, right? Yeah. So it was so bad that when I looked it up online and it gave a rating for different neighborhoods, it said somewhat livable. That was the rating it had. And people urged me, when they would come to give me a ride, they say, Matthew, do we have to go to your place to give you a ride? Because can't you live outside of the neighborhood and then witness to them? I said, no. Now, I believed in Jesus, on Christ's method alone, right? He mingled with men desiring their good, won their sympathy, ministered to their needs, right? Well, won their confidence, and then bade them follow me, right? That's Christ, according to Ellen G. White, that's Christ's method alone, right? True success. That's how we get true success, right? Mystery of Health and Healing, page 74, right? I remember one day I was looking out the window of this. I lived in a very bad apartment complex. I can't tell you that story right now. Too many stories. So I'm looking out the window one day, and I just barely knew Juanita. We weren't seeing each other or anything like that. And she used to come to Sacramento, and we would go do ministry together. And I look out into the courtyard of the apartment complex, and I look out there, and there she is. She's got people praying down there. She hasn't been there 5 minutes. People are praying and giving their life, crying and giving their life to the Lord. And then she points up to my apartment. She goes, you see that apartment up there? You want to know about Jesus? Go see that man. He'll tell you about Jesus. Oh, I used to put a little extra coinage in the laundromat. I would like tell people a little bit about Jesus. I would leave books in the laundry room, things like that. You know the drill, right? I'm Christ's method alone. I'm trying to ease my way into the neighborhood. Now she's like, that's the man. I'm like, not the man. But no, she is bold for Jesus. Praise the Lord for somebody like that. Amen. But you can actually witness yourself, especially nowadays with social media. Please don't use it for other things that you don't need. I like the occasional cute cat. I'm good with that. I actually posted something the other day that was not religious. I think people were shocked. Like, what's he doing? What's the pastor doing? So, those of you who are my friends on Facebook know what I post normally. Right, Sarah? Yes. No. But I did post a thing about the chihuahua the other day. So. All right, so seek in prayer, financial support. You can actually do it yourself. God has empowered us. Didn't Jesus say he's going to give us power? Explosive, dynamic power to be witnesses? Whoa. Yes, Lord. Oh, I got a good story about that, but I can't tell you. I'll say that for another time. Okay. Now we know about the place, right? Simultaneously. Every place, all the time. Let's be creative. Amen? Now, we're going to talk about the part I like the best and saved for last. Number three, the point of witnessing. It says here, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, in the second part, says here that you will receive, you'll be power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, or for me, or of me. Whose witnesses are we supposed to be? Huh? His. Who's he? That's Jesus, right? That's who's talking here, right? Because we're supposed to be his witnesses. Whose witnesses are you? Or are you a hostile witness? Now, a hostile witness is one of those antagonistic to the person who has called them in order to do what? testify. Don't witnesses testify? Isn't that what they do? And how do we testify? By what we do and what we say. By our actions and our attitude. By our lip and our life. Amen? That's how we witness. But some things, you know, you have to be, doesn't a witness need to be credible witness when they testify? When the lawyer calls them up, they're going, yeah, this guy's going to tell them. Right? Right? Unless you're a hostile witness. But there's some things that can ruin your testimony, that can seem inconsistent in your testimony, isn't there? I wrote some down right here. And it says here, how about living for Jesus and living together? Yeah, that'll hurt your witness. That'll hurt your testimony. How about Christ and crack? How about Christ and crank? Mission and meth? I don't think those go together. How about the word and the weed? Humboldt County. Yeah, that'll definitely. Don't, please. Do not come to me. I'm not even going to start talking about that. Just don't. Save yourself some time. Save me some heartache. Unless you want to confess, I'm here. I'm not going to condemn you. No, I don't condemn. That's what the devil tries to do. Amen? I try to help people. That's what Jesus would do. Amen? All right. So if you got an issue, let me know. We'll work on it. How about blessing the Lord and beating your spouse? Mm-hmm. I used to say beating your wife until I became a pastor. Now I change it to spouse. Ladies. How about here's the best one right here. Spreading the gospel and spreading the gossip. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that stings, don't it? So that will definitely have a severe negative effect upon your testimony, right? That will ruin your testimony. Because we don't need any testifying. We also don't need any testifonies. What we need is some testimony. Amen? So it is a choice, though. God says, you will be my witnesses when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, but you have a choice. In the words of the great philosopher Bob Dylan, everybody's going to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but everybody's going to serve somebody. And that's the way it is. There is no middle ground. There is no fence to straddle. You're either on one side or the other. You're either for Jesus, and in the words of our ex-president, if you're not for us, you're against us. Amen? Love him or hate him, he said it. Here's a phraseology you might want to be repeating to yourself. If every Christian was like me, what kind of Christian would every Christian be? Say that again. If every Christian was like me, what kind of Christian would every Christian be? Huh? A little scary? Scary thought? A little sobering there? So, but you see the reason. Some people will never open a Bible. Some people don't have a Bible. I know it's really difficult while you're in here, nice and dark. It's comfortable. Right? It's nice and safe. Isn't it? Amongst people of like mind. Amen? It's very easy to be pious in here. But there's people out there, believe it or not, who don't own a Bible. I know some of you have 20 Bibles at home. I used to till I moved. I don't have that many Bibles. So, they not only don't have a Bible, some of them can't read, so the Bible's useless to them. Some of them can't, please, it's Humboldt County, some of the people can't understand what they read. Amen? So sometimes the only Bible people are going to read is you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. What did I say? 2 Corinthians? What chapter? Chapter 3, what verse? 2 and 3. See, you guys are smart. Wow. And it says here, I hear pages. Wow. That's so cool. And it says here, ye are our epistle, our letter, our testimony, written in our hearts, known and read of how many people? All men or all people. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle, the letter, the testimony of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the what? With the Spirit of the living God. Not in tablets of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. You see, like it or not, beloved, you are being read by all people. Yeah. You walk out your door, you yell it in your house, people hear outside your door. You're testifying. What's the biggest fear of humans? What's the biggest... If I told somebody they had to do something, what would be on the list of... the top of the list of things that they would not want to do? Public speaking. You know what I tell people who tell me that? You realize you're speaking in public right now. Every time you speak, you're speaking in public. Every time you're in the public, you're testifying. Isn't that true? You are being read by all people, whether you like it or not. Hopefully they know you're a Christian and your behavior, your lip, and your life are mirroring Jesus. Amen? Do you know there's more than four Gospels? True. There's Matthew, one I like, of course. Mark, Luke, John, Celia, Betty, Ken, Sarah. Yes. You are a letter of the Bible written by the Holy Ghost. And people are reading you, observing you every single minute of every single day. What's the point? What's the point of witnessing? Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says, they overcame him, that's the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the last. You got to have Jesus if you want to overcome. You got to have a testimony. And here's a sore spot with me. But Pastor, I don't have a testimony. Everybody has a testimony. Everybody. I know us wonderful Christian folks, we love the pastor who becomes, or the prisoner who becomes a pastor, right? The felon who becomes a follower, right? From meth to mission, right? We love those stories. The person who went from the guttermost to the uttermost. We love those testimonies. People come to me and they say, Matthew, I've heard your testimony. I love your testimony. I hate my testimony. My wife, my poor wife who's not here, I heard last place she preached, I wasn't there, she said, I can do whatever I want. I said, okay. So, So she says, Matthew, you should give your testimony more often. I says, I don't want to. I don't like it. I have to relive it every time I give it. And I'm ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed that Jesus saved me. Praise the Lord. But everything that came before Jesus, oh man, that's shameful. I was a shameful human being. I'm not even sure you could call me a human being. Can't talk to you about that right now. So what's the point? You know what testimony I like? Here's the testimony I like. I was raised in a Christian home, a loving Christian home. Never did a whole lot of things bad. Went through Christian education. Still didn't get into a lot of trouble. Maybe a little. But one day, I realized that just being a member of an organization wasn't enough. That one day, I knew I had to give my life to Jesus because that's who would save me. And that's what I did. I got on my knees. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And now, I'm in the church. That's a great testimony. Come on. I want to know how you did that. Because that is not my story. Not by a long shot. Right? Isn't that a great testimony? But we think that's not as dramatic. Come on. Jesus is working in that person's life from cradle to wherever, right? That's powerful. That's a powerful testimony not only to that person of that family. Amen? And the power of Jesus Christ to save. A lot of people, A lot of people in the church at large, not here. We know we're all good here. But some people in the church. Story. Do we have time for a story? Okay. Camp meeting. I'm talking to an individual who's been an Adventist for decades, right? And I'm asking people, so what's your story? And the person tells me, I don't have a story. I say, come on, everybody's got a story. What's your story? He said, well, I just wanted, one day I was a kid, I wanted to join the church. So I got baptized. Anybody hear anything a little off about that testimony? Nowhere in there is Jesus. See, some people in the church think that being a member is what saves them. It's not. It's Jesus. Now, trust me. I love. You can put me. You write it down. Pastor Matthew Baker loves the Seventh-day Adventist Church. This is the remnant church of Revelation. It will never fall. This we will ride this train into glory. Amen. This train is bound for glory. This train. But membership will not save you. It will help you to be saved. But it will not save you. Jesus saves. Okay. That's my story. Okay. So you can't hold on to your life. They did not love their life till the last. You cannot love your life so dearly that you don't testify, that you don't witness for Jesus. I mean, didn't he say he was going to give us power? Is Jesus a liar? No. So what are you worried about? What do you got to lose? What are you waiting for? What do you got left? It's too late in the game for us to be holding anything back. Okay. So let's go to my life verse, Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 8 and 9. This is the verse we're probably going to end with. Ezekiel, that's not Psalms or Proverbs, not Ecclesiastes, not Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Right after Jeremiah's done crying, we have Ezekiel. It's before Daniel and Hosea. If you get to Obadiah, you've gone too far. Go backwards.
Ezekiel.
What chapter? 33. Still with me? Okay, I know. 33, verse 8 and 9. So it says here, tells me I'm supposed to read this. So, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, this is my life verse right here. This is me up in the mountains, freshly barely sober, long hair, down to here, shamefully, beard down to here. Hal, I remember the days. I'm converted. God says I need to witness. I say, I don't think I need to witness. He says, I think you need to really read Ezekiel 33, 8 and 9. I says, I don't want to. I don't want to witness. He says, read it. I says, so okay, I will. And it says, O wicked man. Oh, no. Let's start. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to him. To warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Woo! Is there any wiggle room in that text? Is witnessing optional according to that text? No. Trust me, I tried. I looked. What do you call a person who has blood on their hands from another person? A murderer. Do unconverted murderers go to heaven? No, they do not. Witnessing is not optional, people. Is the Bible our only word or our authority for doctrine? Yes? We're Seventh-day Adventists, right? Okay, is that what that text says? Yes, it's okay, you can admit it. All I'm asking is that what the text says? Yes, that's what it says. I'm not saying anything else. But witnessing is not optional. But you want the good news? One more verse. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you hast delivered thy soul. Why did God send the Holy Spirit? Why didn't God just have angels testify? I mean, it's called the three angels' message, isn't it? Well, number one, angels don't have a salvation testimony, do they? No. Why didn't God just miraculously go, okay, you all believe? Why didn't he do that? What's the point of witnessing? Why did God empower us in order to employ us to evangelize everywhere? Why? Not rhetorical, you can answer. Why? Why? I'm gonna be a 4-year-old for a minute. Why? Somebody else, come on. Why? Because he loves us. Why? 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 What's the point of witnessing? What'd you say? To save us! Amen! That's the point of witnessing, people! Because when you witness, you save your soul. That's why he didn't ask the angels. That's why he didn't do it himself. He did it because he loves you so much. Here's how good God is. He decided to make it to where you get to participate in the ministry of Jesus Christ to evangelize all over the planet just so that you could be saved. That's good news. Come on. And some of you are saying, but I don't want to and I can't. Again, the whole reason God sends the Holy Spirit, who is God, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present into your life and baptizes you in the Holy Spirit is so that he can save you. And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, he says you're supposed to go out there and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And how long will God be with you? Always, even to the end of the world. Whew! That's good news. Let's sing our closing hymn, number 111. It took a miracle.
Number 111.
My Father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny. A God of wonders and miracles is written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Though here he glory has been shown, we still can't fully see. The wonders of his mind is thrown, it'll take eternity. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the
singing right there. Thank you all for your musical ministry. John W. Peterson, who wrote this hymn, got a lot of flack for using the word miracle. You know, he was a musician who later, in World War II, flew what they called the Burma Hump. They flew into China supplies during the Second World War. And he would fly at night on the way there at a high altitude and would see all the stars. And on the way back, he would fly low over the villages, and that would reminded him of God's love for the people. So he wrote this song. And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure it feels like it took a miracle to save me. I think it took a miracle for Jesus to go to the cross when he couldn't see past the portals of the tomb. That's what kind of faith Jesus had. I think it was a miracle for him to lay in the tomb and to rise on the third day. I think it took a miracle to save us. I don't think it takes a miracle to testify. And he already gave us the power. Amen? That's good news. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so very much for allowing us to be here in a place where we can talk about the good news of Jesus Christ. Where we can minister to each other and find Jesus. We can find you in each other's faces. Lord, I ask you to bless with us our food and our fellowship, Lord. Keep the people safe and well, Lord. And as we depart, may your Spirit never depart from us. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen.